You're listening to...
You're listening to...
The Homo Homie Podcast.
Representing, educating, and unifying our queer comunidad.
Also, a gay craft course 101 for the hetero. I'm your host, Eric V.
And I'm your co-host, Jose Resendez.
A fun kickback podcast for all our homo homies and raza.
We invite you to download, stream, and share...
To find out what's good in the hood. What is up, my homo homies? It is me, Eric V, your host, and welcome to the Homo Homie Podcast, along with my co-host,
Jose Resendez.
Ooh, you said that's so sexy. Well, girl, estamos bien orgullosos.
You mean me siento muy excited?
Yes, very Selena girl. Why? Because, you know what? We're switching things up a little bit. We have a special guest. We want to introduce Spanish to our podcast, you know, for our listeners, give you guys some little Spanish lessons here and there, even though I'm a little pocho.
Which we're going to do an episode about being pocho, right?
Yeah, growing up in America, you know, with English and how my Spanish went away real quick because it was my first language.
Oh.
Yes. And we also want to encourage you guys to go ahead and look us up on Google. We have the Homo Homie Podcast, or you can also look for us on our social media platforms at the Homo Homie Podcast.
Yes, and use hashtag Homo Homies when you're tagging us on your photos or when you're listening to us. If you click the link in our bio, you can see all the places that you can listen to us, like Amazon, Spotify, Apple, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and just so many other platforms. And so just please keep supporting us, download, subscribe, and please share these episodes.
And also, we are going to be incorporating our pronouns. So,
yeah, what are your pronouns, by the way?
Well, my pronouns are he, him, his, él, girl, you name it. So I respond to anything. What about you?
My pronouns are he, him, his. I do respond to anything.
Yeah. But you know what? I do. Yeah. Like, I respond to anything. With as long as you put respect on it, that's about it.
That's actually what we're going to be talking about today is being inclusive with language, mm-hmm. You know, especially with the word Latinx that always comes up because I got a comment about me saying Hispanic Heritage Month, and I know that we are trying to use Latinx Heritage Month. And so our special guest today is actually our very first guest for season 2.
Woohoo!
So we are going to be doing some episodes where it's just me and Eric and we're just chit-chatting about a certain topic, like douching or something. But we're also going to bring some amazing guests that we have lined up. And we've been recording them and they don't always come out in the same order.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so excited for this one to be our first guest.
And this person is all about Latinx roots, where the words come from, how we're starting to enter a new age and era of just being aware of our community, of our Latin community.
Right. It's more about being inclusive, diverse, being respectful as well. And he is also an expert in pupusas, by the way.
Okay. She's a salvi.
So we have Curly, my dear friend from BuzzFeed Pero Like, who is joining us today. And we're going to be talking about, like we said, Latinx, Latinx Heritage Month, inclusivity, LGBT History Month, some politics in there, you know, trying to get the word out to vote, vote, vote.
Mm-hmm.
He did a special thing with Kamala Harris recently, so that's really exciting that he was able to represent, you know?
And it's fun because we're coming to the end of the month. It's the end of October, and this is the end of celebrating LGBTQ History Month. Right. And also, we wanted to incorporate the Latin portion, or the Hispanic Heritage Month, or Latinx Heritage Month, along with that, so to recognize our LGBTQ people in history. So,
Curly is a producer, he's an actor, a speaker, a media personality, a gay hair icon, and a fashionista. You all might know Curly from BuzzFeed, Pero Like, his new Latinx platform, acting on Vida, which is on Stars. He was on the Walter Mercado documentary on Netflix. And recently as a pupusa consultant for Kamala Harris. So, yeah.
So, well, we're going to go ahead and take a little descansada, o así no como se llama una siesta. And we're going to be right back with our guest, Curly Velasquez. Ciao!
Yes.
Okay, and we are back from the break. And we have our special guest. We're so excited because this is our first guest of our second season, quote unquote.
Yes.
And without further ado, please welcome Curly.
Woo! I love how you use air quotes. You're like, quote unquote, second season. It is your second season.
Yeah.
This is it. I'm like, what are you quoting?
Because the hiatus, the pandemic made us have a second season.
It did, because otherwise we would have kept going, but we kind of like stopped abruptly because of COVID.
That's so funny. So you're like season one, episode 365. I love it.
Exactly. We were just talking about pronouns. What are your pronouns, Curly?
You know, I've always self-identified as two cups thrown into one bucket. Like, I've always felt like both genders in one, but my pronouns are he, him, just for the sake of like the way that I present. I just present easier, and it's just easier for me to present as he, him, unless we talk more. And I'm like, I call it my feminine brain, my lady brain meets my man body. And then I'm like, how do I meet in between, and how do I live in the intersection of both of those things? You know, like, you know, like you, when you smell someone, like their pheromones, I can feel my body react like, oh my God, they're hot. And then my lady brain is like, calm. We don't even know him. Like, calm it down. Like, we're not going to do that. We're not doing all that. You know?
What about the abuelita side of you?
Oh my God. The abuelita chic. That's just me never leaving my house and just wearing vintage clothes and putting all my jewelry on and putting perfumes on and walking around.
I feel like your aesthetic comes a lot from, obviously, from where you came from, where you grew up, and, you know, yes, like just your childhood. So take us a little bit back to like baby Curly.
I was just talking to my dad about this the other day, because we were remembering that I always dressed the way that I wanted to express myself. Like, and the weird thing with me is I actually don't like attention. Like, I'm very like I'm not necessarily like, I want all the attention when I walk into the room, blah, 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 blah. What I want is when I run into like my friends, like both of you, like I want to have fun with my friends. And I'm like, oh, hi, how are you? And then somebody else will notice and be like, oh, they're loud. And then it becomes more of like, so it's weird. So I battle it every day, because on one side, like when I was 12, I really liked raver. I liked raver style, right? So I had the bright colors and the big pants and the bracelets, and everybody would be like, what the fuck are you wearing? And I'm like, I don't know. I really liked it. Like plur. I don't know if you're
I know what that is. Like glow sticks, yeah, and everything.
Yes, exactly.
Hot topic. Like,
I had like the pepes, like the, what do they call the chupetes?
Oh, the chupons? I know what you're talking about. The pacifiers. Yeah.
The pacifiers, and I would like put little beads and I'd wear them as necklaces. And then I got older and I was like, the 2000s were all about like weird, like, you know, the 2000s style. It was like, you know, deconstruction and handmade stuff. And like, I would ask my mom to knit me, because my mom was like, would knit a lot to make me like hats. Mm-hmm. So I would put my big hair in these big hats. And so it started like really young. I don't know what, I enjoy beauty. I enjoy aesthetics. I enjoy things that are, even if they're not beautiful, even if they're kind of ugly, like there's just, my brain just goes like, oh, I like that. I am more offended by the mediocre than I am by something that is seen as ugly. Like, right. I would much rather see like a witch with the wart and the giant nose and the crazy teeth and than I do like a regular like soccer mom. Like, I would much rather hang out with the witch with the giant mole and the giant nose and the weird teeth.
Like, okay, como dicen, like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, you see beauty in everything.
Absolutely. Well, except for soccer moms. I mean, soccer moms are good, but I'm just like,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with soccer moms. I used to drive a van, okay? They used to call me soccer mom.
Did you grow up with your abuelitos, your parents, siblings? Like,
I grew up with my parents were there, but of course, like what a lot of parents do is they leave you with your abuelos, right? So I was always with my abuelitas. Sorry, that's my mom's. That's my parents' dog that's barking in the background. Let me not yell at her.
It's okay.
We'll see.
They can be part of the show también.
No, I was always with my two abuelitas. And what's interesting is I knew that one of them was a Leo. I didn't know that both of them were Leos. So it's weird to be, yes, it's weird to know that I was raised with like this Leo fiery energy. And I'm like, I feel like I kind of give off Leo vibes sometimes, mm-hmm. but I'm not. I think maybe I dress like that because of the way that my grandma's
What's your zodiac?
I'm a Virgo, and then I'm Virgo Scorpio, so everything is mostly in Virgo or Scorpio.
Okay.
I see.
What are y'all?
I'm a Leo. Yeah.
I remember you're Leo. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm an Aquarius.
Age of Aquarius.
Just kidding. What? You know, and that's fine because I have a really hard time believing in zodiacs, horoscopes, and all that.
Good, like, as you should. I don't think that everyone's like, oh man, I wish I got into it.
I just cannot get into it. Even like crystals. Like I believe in energy, but like when it boils down to like crystals or horoscopes or like the stars, I'm just like, make it make sense, you know?
Yeah, like, I think that's a good way to look at it because I do believe that it can hinder a lot of experiences, a lot of connections, a lot of actual work that you need to do spiritually because you're like, nah, I don't need this. I have my rose quartz. I'm like, no, bitch, what you need is a therapy session. You know, like,
or carrying around all these rocks in your backpack. Like, what?
Exactly. Or like, you know, or with me, I'll meet a guy and I'm like, oh my God, when I was single, I was like, oh my God, I really like this guy, but I don't know, he's a Capricorn. And I'm like, I don't really date Capricorns. Like, right. Kind of weird.
Right.
And stay away from Capricorns. If you're not into it, if you have anything that's born, born late December, early January, run.
Run. <Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. laughs> Well, for me, I'm like opposite. I kind of believe in that stuff. You know, I believe in spirits and ghosts and stuff like that. And also crystals and healings. I grew up around that. You know, and then I have family.
I mean, I believe.
Yeah, and I have family like who does like the whole what is it, Santeria, the limpias and stuff like that. Yeah. So
we do that too.
Mm-hmm. Let me get away.
We have like our own little traditions that, you know, like we light white candles to honor our ancestors. We do it regularly. We do it to honor my grandmother. We use it as a symbol. The white flame or the white candle for us is like a lighthouse.
Yeah.
And so it acts as like a way to bring the spirits home to remind them like, this is your home. This is where you are. We do the limpias. We do all that stuff.
Do you think a lot of that was influenced by your Salvadorian culture? I mean, you weren't born there. You were born in Hollywood, right?
I'm born in Hollywood. Yeah. Melrose and Vine.
And does Hollywood play a big role in that, in your upbringing?
I think that Hollywood plays a big role in my understanding of humanity and my understanding of different cultures and recognizing people as having more in common than differences. But I think as far as magic goes, prayer, superstitions, traditions, I think that's very much a part of what my grandmothers gave to my mother, what they gave to my father, what they have used, and then what they've given to me. And then being, you know, close families with other Latin kids with their own traditions, with their own mothers who are like, déjame fumar este cigarro, like, so that your boyfriend can think of you. Déjame hacerte una limpia. Like, one of my ex-boyfriends, his mom and all her sisters would be like, who do you like? Oh, you like Jose? Okay, we're going to smoke a cigarette for you. And they would all be like, just like in a row, just smoking the cigarette. And then they finish and they'd be like, he'll call you.
Wait, do you still have their number? Like, look it up.
I do. I love them so much. I still love them. I still think like, how can I incorporate them somehow? And then you learn, you adopt new traditions.
And thanks to them, you are no longer single?
And thanks to them, that's a whole nother thing. I had to play the game for this man. Girl. It's so funny because I talk to Maya all the time. We talk about love and relationships. And specifically for me, when I think about queer love, the intersectionality of being Latino, Latinx, queer, it's such a weird dance that we have to play when it comes to finding love, right? Like, our ideas of what love is, our ideas of the love that we've witnessed coming from families that deal with trauma, on top of, within queerness, masculinity being a currency, right? And so you could be like butch as fuck and guys will like you more, but the minute you open your mouth and you sound kind of femme, they're like, never mind. Or guys will look at me and think like, oh, just because he's in a leopard jacket, he must be high femme. And I'm like, nothing wrong with being high femme, but I think I'm like right in the middle. I don't think that I'm too masculine or too feminine.
They assume like sexual roles.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Oh,
top, bottom. You know, I get that all the time. What you're talking about can completely relate.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So like, I'm a big proponent of like, I hate to say it, but you got to play the fucking game, you know, like, and play it so, and it's highly controversial because you're like, that's not love. Love isn't this and love isn't that and da da da. And I'm like, I had to like, you know, like in Clueless when they're like, send yourself some chocolates, wear something sexy and, you know, show a little skin.
You did all that.
They're not lying. That's exactly what you have to fucking do. Like, so no, I didn't get my man through magic. I got him through trickery.
Oh, she said it. That means he is off the market.
Yep. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat, exactly.
Sometimes you just gotta shave your chocha.
Oh, snap.
But what's funny is I will say this, that it I don't recommend it. I think if you really want to do it, it's the ultimate. You know when you think of like love spells, how they're like, be careful with love spells because it could end in a, it could backfire. So I think that it's interesting because it hasn't backfired, but it's been this now like tug of war of being like, oh, I really changed a lot of myself to impress you. So you know what? Right. Now I'm going to be hella extra. Now I'm going to do this. Da, da, da. And it's like this balance of like being who we were when we started dating and being who we are now and being like, I don't give a fuck. You know?
Yeah. I remember talking to you through the DMs and when this whole, I'm going to veer a little bit, when the whole pandemic kind of started, we talked about alcoholism and, yes. And the struggles of, you know, what was going on, staying home, wanting to drink. And for me, it was kind of like the opposite, staying home, not wanting to drink. That's how I felt, you know? So what were your challenges like facing the alcoholism during the pandemic?
To be honest, like, I feel like addiction is like something that a lot of people deal with, whether that's what they call it. You could be addicted to anything. You could be addicted to work. You can be addicted to porn, to your spouse, to anything. So it's like about like your coping mechanisms and how you deal with it on the daily.
Right.
I think what quarantine did was, it changed the game. Like suddenly it was like, I'm used to going to work. I used to waking up. I go to the gym. I get myself some breakfast. I shower. I go to work. I do my work. I get in the car. I walk my dog. I had my schedule over that. So like I had like maybe 6 hours at home to think about like, okay, now what do I do to stay busy? So I would write. I would draw. I would like think of outfits. I would do all these things. And now suddenly you're home for like 24/7, right? And you're like, what the fuck do I do? And you're stuck in a room with like your parents who are yelling at you like you're 12 years old again, or your spouse who's like, you never realize that they breathe so fucking loud. You know, like you're like, what am I gonna do? So it was weird in the beginning. It was really hard. It was really triggering. It was super like, what the fuck?
Like, you were like, wait, these plants? That's what y'all do all day when I leave?
Yes.
Watching the plants grow in slow motion is like, whoa.
I actually do hella stare at my plants a lot, and I think about them all the time. And I'm like, it's so weird. I'm such a little weirdo, but this is also part of my family tradition. We talk to our plants, we talk to our trees, and I honestly feel like I learn from them just by watching them all the time. But the alcoholism, it's a thing that still happens. It's a thing that you have good days, you have bad days, you have triggers, you have other days that aren't triggers. I get highly triggered when somebody from my past comes up to me and is like, oh, I remember you from the clubs. I'm like, oh, like I like go back and I'm like, what are they going to say? What did I do?
Were you a hot mess back then?
So the type of drunk that I was I never used to throw up. I never used to pass out. Nunca me peleaba con nadie. And like,
get your
I
money's was
more
worth.
Of like, my what?
Get your money's worth.
Yes, exactly. Like I was more of like a giant flirt and a giant hoe. And I had a loose mouth. So like, I would just like say shit that I remember. And it still hurts me to think about it. This one beautiful girl, she was just so beautiful. And we were talking and I looked at her and I was like, you're so beautiful, but can I tell you something? And she's like, what? I'm like, you should really work on your posture. Your posture is just like, and I think about it all the time that bitch, you had nobody asked you about her posture. Shut the fuck up and celebrate people. Keep it moving, you know? And I just think about how fucked up. And it was like that kind of a thing that would happen with a lot of different people that I just would say shit that I didn't need to say. I didn't, or I would ignore people, or I wasn't as kind to people. I think one of my favorite things to do when I am in a conversation with another human is I look them directly in the eye. I am listening to them. I am engaged. I understand the divinity and the humanity that is looking back at me.
Yeah.
And so I think that what would happen to me is while I was drinking, I was like, well, who's going to put it in who? I don't know. What are we talking about?
What's going on here? Please enlighten me.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, is that your man? Well, I'll fuck him too. It was all like, it was just like.
And this is like in the queer, like, nightlife spaces, or like, tell me absolutely. A little bit about that, because I'm not from here, you know. So like DTLA, like what you were,
this
like,
was pussy popping where it didn't matter. I always say that I was raised by the Latino black queer scene. Mm-hmm. I started going to this club out here called the Arena when I was 12.
Oh my god.
12
years old. It was underage for a while, and then I'm sorry, not underage. Whoa, it was all ages.
All ages. I think it was like on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah,
like,
so literally all ages.
Yeah, literally all ages.
Yeah. So like Delicious Wednesdays, but then they changed it. They made it 18 plus, right? But they didn't card you. So if you went with people that looked 18, they wouldn't card you. So I was 12. I started going with my sister and her boyfriend when we were 12. By the time I was 16, I was still going. By the time I was 18, I was still going. And it was amazing. Like, it was people that looked like me and y'all. Like, it was not West Hollywood queerness. It was no, like, tight little shirts. And I'm not hating on tight little shirts, but at the time, we were all in Sean John, FUBU, like, baby fat. We were just, like, rocking the culture, because I think that
I still wear baby fat.
The urban community, that's what it was. Exactly. It's from our neighborhoods, dude. And it's something different from West Hollywood. So it's like, wow, I fit in somewhere now.
Exactly. We were dressing the way that our families dressed, the way that the people in our friends were dressed, our family, the neighborhoods that we lived in. It wasn't like, I still get kind of mad, but I get a little like thrown off when people go like, oh yeah, you know, like all the people that come out of like that, they look like cholos, like sometimes they end up being gay. I'm like, you can be gay and look like a cholo. Like there's nothing wrong, there's nothing weird. You could be a gay cholo. Like there's no, like there, I dated so many guys back in the day, Angel, Shorty, you know what I mean? Like all these
brown eyes.
It's really what I love though so much. So then I would go from the Arena to Circus, which was another huge club. And then I would go to Mustache Mondays downtown, which was another like, and then of course we hit up every club all over LA County that had any sort of Latino or black vibe. We wanted to dance to hip hop. We wanted to be with people that were with us, to our cumbias, to the corridos, to Paulina Rubio. Like I never danced to Britney back in the day. The only time that we ever danced to Britney is when she had her collab with Pharrell and the Neptunes. And it was like, yeah, that's God. What we were dancing
Leave
to.
Leave Britney alone.
What I will say, and what I love so much, is that the people in my life and the community at that time has had and has continued to inform what my ideals of beauty are. So like for me, like I know that this, we'll jump into this later, but when I was co-hosting the show for E and we were talking about fashion, at one point somebody was talking about acrylic nails, and the white girls were like, one of the white girls, I'm not going to blame all the white girls, but one of the white girls was like, I don't know, I don't like acrylic nails. It reminds me of like people that work at the DMV. And I was like, I love acrylic nails. It reminds me of all of my girlfriends, all of the girls that I want to be friends with. I love when they have designs, when they have piercings in them. I'm here for them. To me, that is fashion. To me, that is beauty. And it was just really nice to kind of be able to come from that space and that community to be able to defend it in this white space where it's like, I don't know. And also, furthermore, what's wrong with working at the fucking DMV?
Right.
You want your license and permit? Like, click clack.
My tia was like, one of those girls who or ladies that had the long ass fingernails. So I was like, damn.
I love it.
Is your tia Evie Queen?
She could be, man. Right. She had that big red hair. We used to call her like Veronica Castro, because she looked like Veronica Castro, all dolled up, all glammed up.
Speaking of fashion and beauty, you also did you work with David LaChapelle I remember you told me something about that.
Yes, I used to work for, so that was one of my, I always tell people when you're young, no matter what age you are, I went to community college and I went to fashion school, but I remember one of my teachers at community college said, I feel sorry for your generation because y'all's generation is going to have to get really creative with how you like succeed, with how you find success. And I remember being like, yeah. Okay, you're right. I got to get creative with how I do it. So I always tell people, no matter where you are and what time, like DM people, shoot your fucking shot, do it. Like, I didn't know anybody in entertainment. We didn't know anybody famous. I just like talked to one person one day. He knew one person and then the next person knew. And I would email David's studio manager. I was 18 years old and I would email and be like, hi, I would just like to come in and intern like a few days a week, like maybe like one or two, right? Cause it was back then nobody got paid. So I was like, I'd love to come in, and they kept saying no, no. And mind you, I didn't look like the kids that were going in there. I had the fucking Caesar. All the Latino boys had the Caesar back in the day. I had my fitted LA ball caps. I was wearing like, and then on top of that, I still dressed differently than the other Latino boys. So I had like colorful shirts with a shit ton of plastic gold chains on and leopard shorts. And I'd walk in and be like, can I work here? And they're like, no, call us in a month. So every single month I would send another email. I would be like, hi, can I come in? I understand that like, there's a difference between being ambitious and annoying. And I hope that you can understand that I'm just being ambitious, but please let me come in. And then one day, like, I think like 5 months later, they were like, are you available today? And I was like, like, yes, fuck yes. Like, I'm also a very highly anxious person. So like, I have to plan. I have to be like, okay, it's on Tuesday, I'm going to do this. So if you call me on Tuesday and just like drop a plan on me, I'm like, okay.
Oh no.
So I go, I did it. And I didn't end up leaving till I was like, I must've been 18, 19, but I didn't end up leaving till I was 21. And I think the last shoot I ever did for David was we did a 10 look day for Lady Gaga. And it was amazing. It was like the mecca of artists and fashion of that time. Interesting too, is I specifically remember I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I drank, but I didn't drink to that extent. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even buy alcohol. Like David was like, can you run to BevMo and get wine for the party tonight? Get champagne. And I was like, I'm not 21. I can't go. And then there was another party and somebody was like, oh, do you want to do cocaine in the bathroom? And I was like, ah, cocaine, never. You know, fast forward to me being 22 years old and I'm like, oh, like just.
The staff was like, why do you work here? Oh my God. What was like the craziest experience you had working with David LaChapelle?
He is, you know, he's super sweet and it really is. Celebrity-dom, fame is changing. It's ever-changing. I think I can tell the difference between people who have been famous. I can tell people who have been famous for, like, music or movies and people who are famous online and for how long they've been famous for. I call it celebrity brain. So being at LaChapelle Land, you would meet a lot of people with celebrity brain. Like, I don't know where the dressing for my salad is. You know, and you would be like, girl, let's go ask. Like, what do you, they're just so used to like, I've never been inside of a Trader Joe's before. Like that level of like fame.
Wow. Being catered to.
Yes. But also too, sidebar, you online people are far worse. Online people are like, you're like, bitch, what is your fucking talent though? Like you don't sing, you don't act, you're not writing poetry. They're like,
I just did a boomerang of this spaghetti and meatballs. It should be free. No.
Right. Yes, and they're just, oh my God. And they're just like, that's a whole other thing, which we can talk about. I was going to write a memoir.
That's a whole other podcast.
That's her memoir.
Yes. I literally last night was like, I should write a book called Help, I'm Surrounded by Influencers. And just.
do you not like being called an influencer, Curly?
I like being called a person of influence. I'm not sure that I like being called an influencer. Because quite frankly, I'm not trying to influence anybody to do anything besides live their best life. If you want to know what, like, where I got this jacket, absolutely. Like, I'll tell you where I got my jacket. I'll get my clothes. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life except to be the best person that you can be.
Yeah.
However, do I recognize the power that comes with having a big following? Do I recognize the power of moving in the world a little differently? Absolutely. I think my dad's home. Do I think of ways to use my platform for good? Yes. Like, when it comes to influencing people to do right and to be better people, yes, I'm game. But when it comes to, I gotta sell this to pay my bills, it's a bit weird. It's a bit like, I'm not mad at it, and keep right. the gigs coming. Keep hitting me up for these gigs and I'll do it. That's right. how I pay my bills. That's how I help pay for other people's bills too. Like, but the word influencer, it's interesting. Have you heard this survey that's like, kids now are wanting to grow up and be influencers?
Yes.
Yeah.
And my advice for them is like, grow up to be scientists, doctors, poets. It's going to get a little louder. And then turn the camera on yourself and become a person of influence, right? Like, tell people, look, I am a doctor. I am a scholar. So when I tell you, when I influence you into buying a product or influence you into moving or voting a certain type of way, you know that I have my credentials. You know that I've worked hard to be this voice of credibility.
Right.
I'm like, don't just want to grow up and put on some gray sweats and like a tracksuit and be like, I'm influencing, you know?
Right.
I mean, we know you from BuzzFeed and Better Like, and you're like one of the top creators or content creators on there, because you're always doing something. And we love it because you're representing our comunidad, you know, nuestro gente Latino and the queer community to the fullest. So like, how did you get into that particular workspace of the BuzzFeed and Better Like?
I mean, look, the thing is a lot of people know, and I always talk about how I kind of started at BuzzFeed. It was kind of an accident. Like, I was the receptionist at another company, and the HR person there found me when she moved to BuzzFeed, and she's like, you got to come here. Like, you're too, the way that you dress, the way that you talk, the way that you act, like, the way that you think, you would do better here. And I believed her. So I followed her. I went with her. I was making $36,000 a year. And I was like, fuck yes, like $36,000. Mind you have to also remember, in my 20s, I was like fucking broke as fuck, like no money, 87 cents in my account, no benefits. Like, I was like a mess. And so the idea of having a salary and benefits was
a game changer.
A game changer. Even now, as an adult, I'm like, yes, fuck yes. I love working at BuzzFeed. I love having my health insurance and my eye insurance and my dental insurance. It's amazing.
And free drinks and coffee and cookies.
And what?
Free drinks and coffees and cookies. And
exactly.
Every time I go there, there's like free something.
Damn.
Exactly. So I love it. But, you know, I was serving their lunches, and originally I was hired to be their receptionist, but I always say when I got there, they didn't have phones. So I was like, what the fuck am I going to answer? I didn't even have a seat. They didn't even have a chair for me because they were like running out of chairs and shit. And so I spent all of my time in the kitchen. I had a horrible manager that treated me like, she was super passive aggressive. I would get in trouble if the kitchen wasn't stocked like perfectly. And there was a whole thing about like, oh, well, you're just here to be famous. I'm like, I'm not. I'm here to do my job, but I work differently. Like, I'm not going to freak out if we're out of sugar. I'll just order more sugar. Like, you'll be fine. Live your life without sugar for a day. So I started to become in videos, and my following and all this stuff started to pop off faster than some of the younger people that had been hired to produce content. Right. And so I think that for that time I looked weird. My hair was doing something as it always is, doing its own thing. And I was talking about shit that a lot of people weren't talking about, like amongst queer identity or the fact that my nipple ring was infected, or talking about like gay sex. Like, it was just like, people were like, who is this person? Like,
all the taboo stuff that nobody talks about. And that's I think, was a factor for you that played a big role in how things changed for you. And you know, going forward, you're on E! Entertainment all of a sudden. So what's with that? Like, how did you get that?
Well, I try to remember, I never want to say things for the sake of being shocking. Like, I don't believe, and you find this a lot with a lot of queer identities, a lot of queer people. Sometimes they'll be like, I love a big dick. And it's like, okay, like, I get it. Like, it's shocking. And yeah, cool, you like big dicks. But like, what are you saying, right? So like, my take on big dicks would be like, I don't really care for big dicks. Big dicks are good in theory, not necessarily in use. I like a good big dick just on the mantle. Just put it up for decor. I'm not going to use it for anything. You know, like, so the way that I talk about different topics, I think, has always set me aside, right? Right. With E, what's interesting with E was that when I went, I walked in and they were looking for a new gay personality. And all the gay men that were in there were white, mm-hmm. wearing blazers, and they had coiffed hair. Mm. And I walked in with my curly hair. Oh, no, I walked in a dirty navy blue sweater. Like it was dope. It wasn't like super dirty. It was dope. It had holes. It looked cool. Dirty ass white Converse and a giant Vivienne Westwood hat and my big jewelry.
Nice.
Big rings, my big necklaces.
You were dirty with the purpose.
Exactly. So I go in there and I do my thing. I'm like, I worked for David LaChapelle. I worked for Jeremy Scott. I know fashion. I worked in the business. I have my favorites. I have things that I hate. I have opinions. And I went home and I was like, I don't think I got that. Like, they are not looking for someone like me. They're looking for the typical gay white guy in the navy blue blazer, mm-hmm. who is like, yes, girl. And I'm, yes, that's fine. But I'm not going to. I might like, yes, be you, but I'm not going to like, you know, be mean or be over the top.
Right. Like a typical, maybe like stereotypes or like scripted and things like that.
You're not going to hyper them it up. So
it's just for the sake of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just for the sake, unless I'm really excited and really interested. Right. And I called my manager and I was kind of bummed. I was like, I don't know. I don't think I got it. And she's like, I don't know. Who knows? That might be the reason why you get it. And she was absolutely right. They called me. They were like, I had a friend that worked at E and they were just like, did you just audition for this show? And I'm like, how did you know? And they were like, they all just came upstairs talking about the guy in the giant hat. And I'm like, who the fuck wears giant hats? Oh my God. I wonder if it's curly. And it was me. Like, they were talking about me when they went upstairs.
Nice.
It was fun. It was amazing. I mean, what sucks is because of COVID, we didn't get it to go into the studios. And I think that's why the show suffered and we're not doing it anymore. But I think it was like, how dope this Central American kid from Hollywood ended up being an E personality. Like, that's fucking dope.
And that is amazing. And we congratulate you on that and all your success. And
you both are so sweet.
No, thank you. And, you know, we want to go ahead and take a little break because we want to talk more about the way you dive into culture, especially with the new words that we use, Latinx or yeah. Latinx. I don't know how it's pronounced, but we'll get a lesson yeah. from you in just a moment. And we want to dive in further and how you did, you know, met Kamala Harris and learn a little bit more about our history and stuff like that. So,
woo-hoo! Okay, yes.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and take a little break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Homo Homie Podcast. And we are back from the break with our amazing, humble, beautiful, spiritual guest, Curly Velasquez. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Now, we want to, now that we know more about you and who you are and your background, we want to get into the message. The message of Latinx. What is all about yes. that? Why do people are not like gravitating towards it? You know,
like what's up with that? I always think of Curly when I think of Lion X, and I
really
I don't know if it was a post mm-hmm. that you did or a panel that I probably put you on. I've uh-huh. been knowing Curly for a long time because of Hispanicize and just working in the industry and marketing, and that is always like a huge topic, right? Especially in marketing, because I think usually like in Nielsen and Incision and all these platforms, it's Hispanic, and we know that that word comes from like corporate America or politics or whatever. So we want Curly to kind of like break it down and just give us your thoughts on it, because obviously it's about inclusivity.
Yeah, and just real quick, I want to throw in some research that was done on pewresearch.org. You know, some people have heard the word Latinx, which is predominantly the ages through 18 to 29%. We've had those who are U.S. born, college graduates, that's 38%, and women, that's 24%. So, I mean, those are the demographics of the people who actually heard of it and are starting to use it and incorporating it into their daily vocabulary.
Yeah, I think it's such a complicated thing because I think that what people really mean when they say that they have an issue with the word Latinx is they mean that they have an issue with the fact that we as a people have an issue with how to identify, right? Like people who are Latino, Latinx, Latina, Latin, like, it's not a race. It's not a, so what are we? Like, how do we begin to identify as like a people? You're right. Hispanic, Latino, they all are either political or have to do with something of colonization, which is like a whole nother thing too, right? Like, I do want to say that Latinx is rooted in academia, and coming from academia is a privilege that's not afforded to everyone. So you're going to get a lot of different people who are like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is, I don't know. On the flip too, I think that because of colonization, Hispanic honors Spain. It doesn't honor our indigenous ancestors. And Latino, Latin, honors a language that was imposed on our ancestors that I don't know anything about. You know, people are like, you're mixed with European. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of us are. But I was born in the Americas. My lineage has been on the Americas for as far back as we remember, as far back as we know. So I don't know what the fuck anyone is telling me about Spain. Like, I remember some lady one time at work, I came in, she was like, oh my God, I'm so happy that you're here because I'm the only one that speaks Spanish. And nobody here understands me because my English is bad. And I'm like, oh, that's perfecto porque yo hablo un poquito de español, so está bien. And she's like, oh, amazing. And then she's starts talking to me in Spanish, like Spanish. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're saying either. I'm so sorry.
Oh, me siento muy excited.
Yes. But what I always think is like this, I imagine that our indigenous ancestors didn't all identify under one umbrella term either.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to me that their descendants, us, would suddenly have to identify as one thing as well. I think that everyone within the community is allowed to identify how they want to identify based off of their own experiences and what they've learned of their own people. I prefer to use Central American. If you ask me, like, ¿qué eres? Like, how do you identify? ¿De dónde eres? Like, what's your background? I always say Centroamericano, Central American, Salvadorian. What I do love about Latinx is that while so many of these terms have been placed on us as a form of colonization, in my beliefs, Latinx at least is trying to do a semblance of some good, right? Like, it at least is trying to be inclusive and trying to be like these people who are, or certain communities within Latinidad who don't feel seen, who don't feel acknowledged, can suddenly see themselves as part of the tapestry. So I don't, to be frank, I don't think we've come to the point yet where we have a good term to identify us all.
Now, with that being said, like, do you think the word Latinx is more inclusive with the non-binary folk of the queer aspects of it, or?
Absolutely. And that's what I meant when I said that, like, certain communities within Latinidad feel seen, people who are non-binary, people who are non-conforming, people of trans experience, like, if they can feel seen and if they can feel safe with just one word and essentially just one letter, why not? Like, what's it to you? Language is changing. Like, nobody is the gatekeeper of what these identities are and what they mean. Like, I think about, my grandmother talks about her mother and how her mother used to speak Spanish a little differently and they would make fun of her for it. Mm-hmm. And what they think is that, you know, her mom was probably holding on to her own indigenous language in some sort of way. And so she was having trouble with Spanish. So what I think is insane is that her generation was making fun of her for her inability to speak Spanish correctly, quote, correctly. And then four generations later, here I am. And here we are being made fun of the same thing for not speaking Spanish, quote, correctly. But at the end of the day, they're both white languages and they're both the language of the colonizers, right? So I'm like, I don't give a fuck if I'm speaking either one wrong. Like, you know, like, who cares? Like,
It is what it is. So
it is what it is.
Wow, she just blew my mind right now. Like,
and I love it too. Like, especially when we speak, when we're learning two languages at the same time, some of us,
right?
Yeah. You know, when we're learning how to translate different things, like, for example, like if my mom's like, ve a pasar un trapo encima en la mesa, right? Like, ve a limpiar, pasa el trapo. Like, if I'm saying in English, I'm going to pass the rag. Like, that doesn't translate that well, but I say it anyways. I'm still like, oh, let me pass a rag on the table first, or let me pass the vacuum first, or just different things that I'm like, oh, that is so. Look it is very much a part of right. our thing, you know?
Look it, right? Stupid.
You know what I'm saying, right? Like, yeah. Oh yeah, more than likely, look at her, the way that our tongues move when we speak English, like, that makes me so happy and I get so excited, because I'm like, that's what makes us who we are. That's how the people of our region have really adopted the language and made it our own. Mm-hmm. So don't come for me and be like, así no se dice,
right?
Let me, mami, ¿qué fue la palabra que me dijiste el otro día? Chinear to shine. Give me the histas. Remember that when somebody breaks up with their boyfriend, they start to shine.
Oh,
shinear.
We caught that. Yes. Shinear. Go, mom.
Shinear. And I said that to a friend, and they were like, así no se dice brillar. And I'm like, it's my mom's like slang. Like, that's how my mom said it, shinear. Like, so who cares? Like,
it's in your dictionary, hey.
Who gives a fuck? And like, honestly, you look at like the way that Shakespeare spoke and all these people spoke, and you're like, bitch, no one talks like that anymore. So what's you're gonna die. Who right. cares?
We introduced bootylicious to the dictionary, twerking.
Exactly.
What I mean, what hurts you for one letter? Just literally one letter, like you said.
It is one letter.
And you also launched at New Latin X, like, it's a Instagram platform, because yes. I remember you were featuring mm-hmm. so many individuals. That was beautiful.
Yes, New Latin X started, I believe, 2 to 3 years ago. I now run it with one of my good friends named Oscar, and it came out of the frustration of watching all sorts of Latinx media, Latino media, and not seeing people that I grew up with or seeing people that I wanted to see. I was heavily inspired by Afropunk and seeing how so many Black creators and Black people were expressing themselves in ways that you don't really see a lot in mainstream media. And I thought, like, wow, like, I know so many Latinx people, Latino identifying people who are also that, who are like, don't want to necessarily look the way they expect us to look in Hollywood movies, like, or expect us to look the way that we look on Univision and Telemundo. And so I wanted to highlight those people. I wanted to show Afro-Latinos, indigenous Latinos, like people of trans experience, non-binary people. I wanted to show people who identify as disabled, people who identify as like anything that they want to, because I think it's important. And I always say this, I'm like, yes, we are gardeners. Yes, we are housekeepers. We are cholos, we are cholas. We are also scientists, we're poets, we're doctors. Yeah. And I think that in order to celebrate us as a people, we need to highlight it all, because I can cure you, but we can also throw down if we need to.
Right, you know? We can all shinear.
Like, shinear.
What are you trying to say? Shinear, exactly. Shinear.
And speaking about, you know, representing people within the comunidad, like, it is LGBTQ History Month. And mm-hmm. As we celebrated, you know, not too long ago in the beginning of the month, the Latinx Heritage Month, we want to recognize our queer heroes. You know, like, we had Ricky Martin, we have Frida Kahlo. Yeah. I grew up watching, you know, Francis La Travesti. You know, that was a big thing in Mexico. Mm-hmm. She was amazing. Sylvia Rivera for, you know, Sylvia the Stonewall mm-hmm. Stonewall riots. You know, there's mm-hmm. so much to talk about.
Juanga. My fave.
Yep. A lot of people.
So who are some of your people that you look up to, like, in the media or even like in entertainment that you can identify with?
I think I was more of like somebody who, to be honest, I identified a lot with like a lot of women, a lot of people who identified more as like femme. Mm-hmm. And I think I just had, it's not really a queer person, but like, and it's going to be, oh my God, I'm going to, I'm going to drag myself for this one, but it's fine. But Selena was a really big person for me as a young kid. I used to like, when I would watch interviews about Selena and they would be like, oh, she would kiss and hug everybody in the room when she met them. I remember growing up and thinking like, that's what I'm going to do when I'm an entertainer. And before COVID, I always did that. Every right. set that I was on, I would say what's up to everybody, hug and a kiss. Like, the way that she dressed was a big deal. The way that she loved fashion, I actually had a Selena museum in my closet back in the day in the Callejon downtown, Santi Alley. You could go and you could buy photos of Selena for $1 each. And so I would go and I would save my little coins and I would be like, can we go downtown so I can buy Selena photos? And then I would buy them and I would put them in little frames in my closet and I would like make my cousins come over and I would be like, I'm going to give you a tour of the Selena Museum in my closet. Right.
That's so cute.
Wow. I still have one of those in my closet, a whole museum.
Do you really?
Yes. I'm obsessed with Selena. I'm, you know, being from South Texas, like Selena is everything.
Well, who doesn't like Selena? Selena's iconic, dude.
Yeah. She's iconic. Yeah.
The best representation for the Latino community ever.
Yeah.
I think like for us though, in our certain age group, we were very limited in what we saw as far as people who were openly out as queer. Like, I remember that the only person that I really could look up to at the time was RuPaul. Like RuPaul, I was like, you know, RuPaul was singing, "You Better Work." And I'm like, this song is popping. Yeah. You know, RuPaul was the cover of Viva La Vida for Mac, right? Like, I think that's what the campaign was called.
Viva Glam.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Viva La Vida. And so that was kind of, it was very limited. I think that nowadays we have more because people are a little bit more open to talking about those things and understanding what queer identity looks like and what it doesn't look like. I don't think 10 years ago we would have looked at Ricky Martin and been like, he's one of us.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
we would have.
Right. Like, we've like, been now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was Walter Mercado somebody like that? Because I remember seeing you in the documentary on Netflix.
Yes.
That was so dope.
That was like everything.
Absolutely. When they were like, do you want to talk about Walter Mercado? I was like, yes, of course I do. I love him. He's so, you know, I'm always talking about horoscopes and zodiac. If you sit down with me, I'm always wearing something huge and over the top. If you come to my house, I'm burning incense, candles, praying. I'm in constant prayer, talking to the spirits. I'm reading cards left and right. I'm dreaming things for people. So when they were like, come, do you want to talk about him? I'm like, yeah, because I used to get in so much trouble, as many of us did, when he was on and your mom or your abuelita was watching. And if you spoke over their sign, you were like, they were like, I have never been disappointed in you before. But today I am disappointed in you.
You know what's funny? One time in my grandma's house, they were watching it and I was like, I didn't understand it. And I was watching it with them. And I went upstairs, to one of my grandma's rooms and I got the sabana. And I put it over me, and I was like, see, Leo. Yes. And like, all acting the mannerisms of Walter Mercado, along with, you know, saying like, con mucho, mucho amor.
Yes. You're so good at that. You do that really good.
It was a lot of practice.
Your first drag performance.
Okay. As Walter Mercado. No, I mean, he was an iconic staple in our Latinx culture. So we looked up to him, and I kind of identified with him. Trying to figure out who I was still growing up, you know, being that queer kid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, he really was a big part of the culture. Like my mom the other day was saying that she believed in him and she would take his advice seriously. And she's like, you know, but I would get really mad when things wouldn't come true because he said that by Friday I was going to da da da. And when he didn't, she's like, I stopped believing. I was really upset. And I'm like, I love that. I love that. Because like what Walter Mercado was for a lot of Latino people, Sylvia Brown on Montel was like that for like a lot of like,
oh my God, yes.
You know, people talk about Oprah and Christina. And for me, it's like Walter Mercado or Sylvia Brown. You know, like who were the people that I was like really.
Or like Miss Cleo. I remember her. her and her commercials.
Or Dionne Warwick.
Exactly. Well, she did it too.
Yeah, her Psychic Friends Network.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Keep smiling. Keep shining. Mm. That's a Dionne Warwick song. I don't know if you guys know that song. It's a really good song.
Yes, I know.
So now that we've gotten to know Curly, We're modern day 2020, and the election season is right around the corner.
Yep.
Yes.
And I don't know what Curly's crystals are telling him, what's going to happen. It's pretty scary.
Lea las cartas, girl.
I'm a little nervous. Yes. Tell us what you see in the cards, because you just recently collaborated with the Kamala Harris campaign, right? Tell us about how that came about.
Kamala Harris. Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, look, they hit BuzzFeed up, and I was so excited to be able to speak with her. They had sent me questions that they wanted me to ask her, like policy questions. And I was like, that's great, but as a human being, I have different questions, you know, like, so my questions were like, how do we begin to heal? What does it look like for communities to hold other people accountable, but also hold themselves accountable for how they have been hurtful, for how they have had privilege over others, how there is still laws in place to hold people down. Like, what are we doing to acknowledge one another's pain and be like, I see you, let me live within my apology. How can we do better and how can we move forward, right? Like, I was telling her, if I hurt your feelings and you come to me and you're like, Curly, you hurt my feelings and you did this and you did that and you ruined my life and you did these things, I'm not going to be like, it was 200 years ago, get over it. I'm going to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. How can I apologize and how can I do better? And what can I do to not only be a better ally, but what can I do to change the world so that we can live equally and you can live a full, rich life as a human being? And how do we do that with communities and one another and people? And so it was really dope to be able to talk to her about those things and get answers from her as far as what humanity and healing looks like versus what her answers needed to be as a politician. And that was really dope too. And then we talked about pupusas and the fact that she was a Libra. So that was really dope as well.
That is amazing. And you know what, Curly? We are so proud of what you've accomplished. And, you know, we're thankful.
I'm so proud of you both.
Thank you. And, you know, we're happy that you are on here with us chit-chatting, you know, having comadre talk and just, you know, shooting the shit.
Yes.
And you're an honorary homo homie, so.
Yes. Thank you so much. Look, I'm so proud of you both. I've known y'all for years at this point, and just to watch you shine, just to have this conversation with you both is really, really, really cool. And this is actually a lot of fun. I've done a few interviews where I'm like, I want to giggle, like, let's giggle. And I love that we had a few giggles and we're chatting it up. So thank you for that. Y'all are doing a phenomenal job at interviewing.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll keep all the giggles in. We won't edit those out.
Right. And
yes.
I wanted to do something new for, you know, our new start of the season and our comeback and just incorporate some more to have a more deeper connection with our guests. And we call this On the Record. And this is our little segment dedicated just to you. It's like your little takeover of what you want to say. Anything. It's your thoughts. You can disregard a rumor that you've heard about you and get that fixed. Or, you know, or it could be political, Black Lives Matter, sex, controversy, whatever you want, whatever thought you want to give. Just put it out there.
What's up, guys? This is Curly, and I am on the record with the Homo Homies. So one of the big lessons that I would say that I've learned during the pandemic while being at home is what I like to call the shadow self, or what a lot of people are calling the shadow self. I sometimes feel that people feel the need to be perfect or live within the light always, and they have to be good and everything has to be perfect. And I think that there's something really beautiful about embracing the shadow self and understanding that a little bit of evil, a little bit of the darkness is in all of us. A little bit of the light is in all of us. And that's what makes humanity so beautiful, is the understanding that you are both, but you can pick which side you want to live in. You can pick how you want to thrive and how you want to move in the world. My favorite quote actually is from Maya Angelou, who was quoting another philosopher from ancient Greece. And it's like, homo sum humani nihila me alienum puto. And it means like, I am human, therefore nothing human is alien to me. And so she says that if you can imagine the brute and the bigot and the most evil person in the world and understand that you have all of that in you, that you can be equally as horrible and mean in the world, then you can understand that you can do the same amount of good as a Mother Teresa, as a Martin Luther King. And it takes one person to be as powerful and to be a vessel of change and of goodness and light in the world. And so in acknowledging both of those, it has allowed me to move forward as a human, to not only forgive myself, but to forgive others around me and move towards a state of healing for me and for my loved ones, and just kind of towards a life that is more complete and whole.
Yes, thank you, snap, snap, snaps for the kids. Well, snaps again,
for the kids.
Thank you so much, Curly, for joining us. Before we go, social media plugins, websites, what do you want to put out there? Awesome. Where can we find you, girl?
You can find me at The Curly V Show, V as in Victor, at The Curly V Show on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. I'm mostly active on Instagram, so find me there, send me some love, say what's up. I'm thankful. Thank you again for having me on the show. It really means a lot to me to have people from my community on their platform. So thank you again for having me.
No, thank you, Curly. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation and coming to share this space with us and providing words of wisdom and motivation and inspiration.
Yes. Look, I mean, I don't think nobody has the answers.
Right.
So everyone is their own best teacher and their own best guide. So I always say, look internally. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to nobody online who's giving you advice and nothing. Like, go find out. Go learn. Go stare at a plant and learn something, you know?
Or listen to this podcast because...
Okay.
Or listen to this podcast. Exactly. Right.
A lot of people that are outside of these, like, big metro cities, like... Because, you know, I moved here from Miami and I'm from Houston and LA and all these places. In the middle of nowhere, you could just listen to a podcast and kind of... be friends with us and, you know, have us in your ear, because there's a lot of young queer kids out there who are super lonely, who don't, you know, they don't have the resources, or they can't find the right resources. And there's episodes like this that really do, you know, make a difference. So thank you, Curly.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you both for existing and making this. And also too, like something like Homo Homies, the ways that you both present, the way that you both talk, is so important to show the spectrum of what it means to be queer and what it means to be Latino, Latinx. Like, we don't all look the same. We don't all talk the same. We don't all dress the same. Like,
right.
I think it's so dope because you both look like the kids that I grew up with, the community that I was in all the time. And I'm like, where are my peloncitos? Where are, you know what I mean? Like, right. Where do y'all go?
I'm here. Now. I'm right here.
I'm wearing baby fat underneath yes. this.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again. And we're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back con mucho, mucho amor. Okay, ya regresamos from the break, and that seriously was an amazing conversation. I'm glad we had Curly B as our first guest, and he had a lot to offer, you know? So the podcast today, so I was like super excited to have him.
He took us to church.
Yeah, he literally blew my mind, right, with new terms, the defining Latinx, and with a part where it did blow my mind, where he was like talking about like, oh, his mom grew up, you know, talking this way, and then moving on to generations, you know, we're talking this way, and they've both gotten flack for it, you know, and it's just like, oh shit, you know, the evolving of words and definitions into our language and right. how it all starts.
And a lot of times history repeats itself.
Yeah, it sure does. And you know, again, we are glad to have him on, and I think that's it. That completes our episode today. So yes. Really quick, don't forget to check us out at the Homo Homie Podcast. For me, my social is at the Homo Homie. You can find Jose Resendez at the Jose Resendez.
Yes.
And then you can always Google us at the Homo Homie Podcast.
Yes.
So check that out. Make sure you listen. Ooh, and don't forget to click the link in our bio, because we have a lot of brand new features and new things that we added to it. So that way you guys can have fun with us and we can get to learn more about you guys. So,
yes, it will be your time to shinear.
Shinear.
If you drop us a voicemail in our homie hotline, we might be using it for a future episode that we're trying to put together. So please click the link in our bio. Click on the little button that says Homo Homie Hotline and drop us a voicemail.
Okay. So, again, thank you, Curly, for being our guest. Thank you, Jose, for always being here and helping me out. Mm-hmm. And thank you guys, the listeners, for always listening on in, supporting us, and just being there, you know, learning and having a conversation with us.
Yes. Thank you for supporting.
Yep. All right, guys. And that's it. So remember to always be good or be good at it, but be safe. Love you. Bye.
Bye, guys. Later.